Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind with us here on the early line. SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri. Action-packed weekend. Sometimes they say, Joe, 2 hours just might not be enough, but we're up to the task.
Yeah, it's and it's going to get even crazier here over the next couple of weeks, Donnie. So we need to buckle up and get ready. Madness is almost upon us.
Day basketball, who says no? Certainly not these two guys right here. Excited for March Madness. We will certainly get to that a little bit later in the show. But as always, the 7-7, the hottest topics in sports. Let's get after it. Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies said, looks like we're going to get into a little bit of trouble here. An IG live video showed Ja Morant brandishing a firearm. They gave him a two-day suspension. I should have said a two-game suspension, but it now looks like Joe has turned into an indefinite suspension where they're not sure when Ja Morant is coming back.
It's been quite a last month or so there for Ja Morant for all the wrong reasons. Beating up 17-year-olds, we've got fighting with mall security guards, and now we're showing off a gun on an Instagram video in a strip club. So things are going well for Ja Morant, not so well for Memphis. But we still are yet to hear from the NBA as far as any sort of punishment they're looking at. So this is to be determined still on how all of this works out in the end.
Yeah, treading lightly, as we would like to say. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days, but we don't know officially when he's coming back. And hey, the Memphis Grizzlies can use all the help they can get trying to hold on to that number 2 seed overall in the Western Conference. Let's get to the combine. Blazing fast numbers. How about this? Devin Achane runs the fourth fastest 40 by a running back in the history of the NFL combine. Speed kills, but we have to remind ourselves, Joe, there's no helmets, there's no pads, there's no defense, there's just straight line running here.
Cracks me up. I mean, three running backs actually, sub 4.4 40s.
Crazy.
And all I'm reading is that, oh boy, they really increased their draft stock. Like, why? Because they ran sub 4.4 40s with no helmet and shoulder pad? All right, let me know how that works. And by the way, until you beat Chris Johnson's record, I'm not interested in it.
Yeah, exactly. But there is speed there at the draft. But we're going to joke about that a little bit more here coming up in the next segment as we put a nice tidy bow on the draft. Excuse me, on what's going to take place in the draft through the combine here. Let's keep it moving. The Power 5 conferences in play this week. Day basketball. Everybody's getting after it. At-large bids. You know, everybody trying to win their conference tournament. The jockey for seeding. I love this week. Power 5 conference basketball. This is the official start of March Madness for us.
And a lot of bubble teams, too. So, I said, buckle up, get ready. A lot still to be determined as far as the brackets go. So, this is one of the most fun weeks of basketball all year long, Donnie.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to who are going to be those bid stealers out there, because you know they're coming here. Now, as we take a look at players that play basketball really well and tandems that we want to watch. The one tandem it doesn't look like we're worried about right now, that's Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. They actually played the Dallas Mavericks yesterday, and a tandem we are worried about in Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. But my goodness, Durant and Booker shined once again. Could this be a glimpse of what to anticipate in the NBA playoffs?
Oh yeah. Like I said, good luck trying to stop Booker and Durant. Because just when you think you take away everything, they end up pulling up for these mid-range jump shots that two of the best in the league, Donnie. It's almost impossible to defend. So good luck, Western Conference. Let me know how it works out for you.
Amazing. Let's welcome in the radio audience here. You are watching and listening live, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. This is The Early Line. It's Donnie and Joe here, and we got you over the next 2 hours right now going over some of the hottest topics in sports, which include, hey, Derek Carr favors the Jets here over the Saints and the Panthers. It would be nice if he could just say, sure, I want to go to the Jets, but we can't do that just yet because why? Aaron Rodgers still coming out of the dark.
Yeah, and they met for a second time, right, in Indy here at the Combine. Everyone was kumbaya. This is great. They're rolling out the Matt Stafford, comparisons. That's all fine and dandy. But if Aaron Rodgers says, I want to play, we'll see how enthused they are about Derek Carr.
Yeah, we know the Jets want an upgrade at the quarterback position. They're just waiting on who and certainly what that package is going to be if Aaron Rodgers actually does want to leave Green Bay. We'll certainly keep an eye on that situation here. Another eye on the situation, 2021 NL MVP Bryce Harper is going to show up at camp Wednesday for the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, he's not going to be inserted in the lineup right away, still recovering from elbow surgery. More of a around the All-Star break here. Phillies have a pretty talented team. They want Harper back as fast as possible.
Yeah, of course they do, but I think it's more important to make sure he is 100% healed and ready to go than just to throw him out there and let's say, May for no good reason. So let's take your time with him. He'll be back and he'll impact the Phillies when they need him the most.
Yeah, how about last year? Thank goodness for the DH. If there was no DH in the National League, Bryce Harper doesn't even play last year and how incredible he was throughout that playoff run. How about this? We talk about March Madness, number one South Carolina in women's basketball, seventh SEC championship in the last 9 years, and unbeaten Joe Ranieri. Who's beaten them?
Well, I got to win one of those video games where we take the UConn teams of a decade ago, taking on this team, and let's see what we got here. Amazing record.
It's pretty crazy, as it turns out, too. Like, UConn had all those years. Now we just flip it over here, and it's South Carolina taking control.
South Carolina.
Awesome, with an unbeaten seeding, which is absolutely tremendous. Yes, South Carolina, really good basketball club. March Madness for the women coming up as well. We're going to wrap up the Combine coming up next. Stay right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
New week, new money. Hour number one rolls along here as we start talking about the Combine in the NFL. Wrapping up here. Next up here, we're going to have the draft and free agency and OTAs. And before you know it, the opening kickoff where the Kansas City Chiefs will be hoisting a banner to the rafters and showing off the Super Bowl trophy, and away we go. But before all that, let's take a look at the Combine here, because there are Combine warriors out. Now, before we get into these specific topics here, Joe, once again, lay it out for me. Your thoughts on the Combine and what you actually take away from it?
Absolutely nothing. There is nothing we are seeing at this Combine that we didn't already know across the board. How hard is it, Donnie, look at a guy in his college career and go, wow, that dude's fast. Or wow, look at that. He looks at that guy can run. What a powerful arm. Like, there's nothing we are learning here that we didn't already know. I think the Combine is all about the management of teams around the NFL getting together, cutting deals, talking to one another, feeling each other out. Everybody already knows who the best football players are coming out of college this year. At least I think they do. Maybe I'm giving some teams too much credit.
Yes, overthinking the situation. Because, yeah, let's also take a look at Anthony Richardson, who was absolutely outrageous at the Combine. But, Joe, if somebody would have told you, hey, get this, Anthony Richardson is really big, he's really fast, and he's really talented. And then you watch the draft and go, or the Combine, yeah, he's actually really fast. What did we expect coming into this? Did you expect him to run a 4.94? Like, oh, I thought he was really fast. No, we knew this. We knew that he was a giant as well, size and stature over just about every quarterback that's going to be lining up at the Combine here. That's what we anticipated. But also, let's take a look, Joe Ranieri, at the 100-to-1 plus odds that were available just a few short weeks ago have now turned into, oh, goodness, could this guy be the number one overall draft pick? So I'll ask you this question here. He runs fast. He throws well at the Combine. He jumps out of the building. But we have 13 games where he started and game film that goes, I don't know if he's ready to be a quarterback yet. Why do some of these football teams counterbalance that and say, well, we know it's on tape and he's rough around the edges, but he ran really fast in a 40 and jumped high. We got to take this guy over, let's just say, a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, it's laughable. It really is. But, you know, that's also what this combine, it's all about. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. You almost believe nothing about what you hear coming out of the combine. Because like you said, if you're going to start by telling me how fast he is, how big he is, how athletic he is, and then at the very end of that conversation, you're going, but he is a little raw. Well, yeah, we know that. Yeah, like he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He may be a starting tight end at some point or a wideout. You know, he may be that along the lines, but that's not something you're willing to. If you got to draft this guy and hope that he works out 2 years down the road because you can't play him as a starting quarterback and yet you're drafting him number one, then that says a lot about you, not necessarily his ability as a quarterback.
Hey, it's one of those players, like if you were playing Madden football and you tried to like just concoct a football player, what he would look like, it would be Anthony Richardson. And then you would work on that talented right arm and up it from like 60% up to like 95%. And then he'd be an absolute beast. We'll see how it turns out. But granted, he owned the combine. But again, we've seen that before time and time again. Let's take a look at some other quarterbacks here at the combine. 5'10 and an eighth. Come on, sounds a lot like me. Now we're knocking this guy for being short, but also one of the lightest and shortest passers here. Are we worried, Joe Ranieri, taking a look at Bryce Young? Is he too short for the NFL? Is that even an issue right now?
I don't know. Ask Drew Brees. How'd that work out? Was he? Okay. Got all 6 foot of him. So, yeah, listen, guys. This is another one of those things, Donnie, what cracks me up. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly certain everybody knew prior to this combine, he wasn't the tallest dude in the bunch. I'm fairly certain we all knew that. So this is another one of those things where, oh, he didn't throw. He didn't do, who can, like, I got enough on him and all the rest of the quarterbacks here to know exactly whether or not it's going to work, or at least I think it can work in the NFL. Bryce Young is an NFL quarterback, for better or for worse. Not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer or any sort of Pro Bowler, but hey, we saw this line and style of quarterback from Alabama prior, didn't we? There's one playing for Miami right now. How sold is Miami on that quarterback right there, Tua? Because they're cut from the same cloth.
It's pretty interesting, too, as you try to work it out. When you watch Bryce Young over the season, I don't think it ever came up in my mind, Joe. It's like, you know what? I don't know if he's tall enough to be an NFL quarterback.
Exactly.
Like, he put up numbers here. And you're right. There are other guys that are shorter. Now, does it always work out? Would you wish he was 6'3 and a half? Sure you would. But I don't think looking at him going, hey, you know what? I loved your game film, but you seem a little bit short here, as opposed to Anthony Richardson. Boy, we don't like your game film, but my goodness, look at your measurables.
Yeah.
It's always those things that we worry about. And we'll see where these guys end up getting drafted out of. Let's switch it over here, because out of the combine, sometimes it's not so much about how big, fast, or strong you are and how many interviews you have, but a lot of people use this for networking. And the reason we're bringing this up, Daniel Jones, his agents were at the combine. Why? Because you get to sit down with the Giants and maybe some other football teams if there's interest in the air. It looks like right now they're not going to be able to come to an agreement before Tuesday on a new contract, which Daniel Jones is saying between $40, $45 million and more is what he's looking for here. And the Giants saying, you know what? I don't know if we're willing to go that much because the franchise tag is $32 million. What are we looking at for Daniel Jones? Are we more likely to get a long-term deal worked out, or this might be a slap a tag on him and see if we can work something out later and or just play under the tag this year?
$32, $33 million, something like that, under the tag. Yeah. He apparently is hinting towards somewhere around the $45 million mark in the marketplace. What I find interesting is that the Giants didn't pick up the fifth-year option. So the Giants basically put him in a spot now where, yeah, he in another month he's going to become a free agent. So let me ask the Giants something here. What is the option here if you don't bring him back? Where exactly are you going to find a quarterback to be able to start over with? Like, I'm so confused as to why they didn't just pick up the fifth-year option and figure it out down the road. But instead, now they've kind of backed themselves in a quarterback corner and going, all right, the tag at $32 million, yes, you may be able to buy yourself another year here, but ultimately we're going to have to revisit this again and again and again. I don't understand what the Giants were doing here with him.
No, because you say that fifth year that you pick up the option, that's your look-see season. But the Giants had already basically made up their mind, Joe. We didn't think he was going to be good enough to even warrant the fifth year, and now they're trying to negotiate. The one thing I do think with the Giants, if they're a smart organization, love their head coach, we'll see if their GM does, why don't you let them test the free agent waters? Because if he comes back and goes, hey, I got $48 million from Team X, okay, there's where our launch point is. Let's see if we can negotiate. But for me, I don't know where any other team is looking going, hey, man, we zeroed in on Daniel Jones at $45 million. We hope he is a free agent. I don't know if that's going to take place here, but it's apparent the Giants want him. He wants the Giants, but these numbers are certainly large. Now, let's flip it over to the running back position. Some of these guys are going to get tagged. Pollard there out of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones has already said as much, but it looks like now the Vegas Raiders and Josh Jacobs are headed for the tag. Joe, this was a guy last year where he was running 10 times in the first quarter of the Hall of Fame game to be showcased to hopefully another team would say, hey, give us like a third-round pick and you can have this guy off our hands. He was sensational this year, and actually now it's worked his way into a tag and big money here. Josh Jacobs and the Raiders, how do you feel about that tag coming?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the problem is you got Josh McDaniel, you know, Belichick disciple, and they place exactly zero credit in the running back position. So the idea was, well, we don't need a running back. We can, there's a million of these running backs we can get for half the price. And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, he's actually pretty good. We might be able to work with him. So, yeah, live and learn, and now he's going to be tagged, and they're going to kick this thing down the road again, and we'll see what happens to him.
Yeah, the game plan usually works out well. Draft a young running back in the first round, keep him for 5 years, and then just don't re-sign him here. But it looks like Jacob's going to play his into some big-time money here on the secondary contract. But you know what else was big this weekend in the NBA? We got a lot to recap, so make sure you keep the dial right here. SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA action. Boy, what a weekend that we had as we look towards March Madness in the NBA as well. Teams jockeying positions in both the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. Let's start here, Joe Ranieri, with a Saturday matchup that had the Philadelphia 76ers going on the writ to take on the red-hot Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks were absolutely laying out the Philadelphia 76ers through three quarters, and then the Sixers turned on the gas pedal. 48 points in the fourth quarter. You had Joel Embiid and James Harden go wild, and they needed every bit of that in a 133-130 final. Big win for the 76ers, slowing down the Milwaukee Bucks, who dropped the 27-6 at home. An entertaining game all the way through. This is why it's so maddening, Joe, when we try to take a look here and say to ourselves, how good can the Philadelphia 76ers be? You see some of the losses that just don't add up and make some sense, and then you see games like this going on the road and taking down the Bucks.
And it was an pretty important game, too, a game that Philadelphia wanted to have because they hadn't looked great prior to this. And, you know, now all of a sudden you got to walk into this buzzsaw who they had in, 13 games they had won in a row on their own home court. And then all of a sudden, one of the best three-point shooters in the league, I mean, Joel Embiid, ends up sinking one there. Of course, who else do you want shooting a three when the game on the line than Joel Embiid? And the big man ends up getting it done, but Maxey had a huge game. Niang had a everybody contributed from the Sixers in that one, a true team effort. And listen, they went – it was a heavyweight fight. They went toe-to-toe with the Bucks, and the team who made the last shot ended up getting it. They almost dropped 50, the Philadelphia. They were not
crazy.
They were not leading this game at any point until the fourth quarter when they dropped, I think it was 48 or 49 points in that quarter to win it. It was very entertaining. Not a lot of defense, but a lot of double-doubles, triple-doubles. They were handing them out left and right in that game there, Donnie.
Yeah, crazy last 2 minutes, too, because it wasn't one of those games where the Sixers, like, turn it on at the beginning of the fourth quarter and take the lead and just coast. Like, they needed that entire fourth quarter to come back, and it looked like every time the Sixers countered, the Bucks came back and double countered them there, but it worked out in a Sixers victory. Eastern Conference standings now. How about this, though? The Milwaukee Bucks have a game and a half lead over the Celtics. We'll get to their game against the Knicks in just a few moments, but the Philadelphia 76ers, as you talked about, Joe, last week so many times, they got a really tough schedule coming up, so they're looking to hang on to that third seed, but look at this now. 4.5 games back of the Bucks, but the Cavaliers almost 3 games back now of the Philadelphia 76ers. So a massive win all the way around. Let's take a look at what happened in the association yesterday, because it started right away with the Suns and the Mavericks. 130 to 126, the Suns get the victory. And if you were worried about acclimation into the lineup, Kevin Durant, look no further than yesterday. If Booker and Durant are going to be able to do this, Joe, my goodness, heading down the stretch, just keep them healthy, get them to the playoffs. This team's going to be a lot of fun, and finally a chance for the Suns to get a ring.
And it was interesting, too, because this was another one of those games where from the second, third, and really most of the fourth, this was all Dallas. You know, they could not pull away, obviously, but they were leading the entire time. And then all of a sudden, right down the stretch, we're watching this game on in-game live yesterday, and I'm going, this is going to be, all right, who's got the ball in their hands for the last shot? Is it going to be Doncic? Is it going to be Kyrie? Is it going to be Booker? Is it going to be Durant? The answer was Durant, who ends up with the pull-up shot after a Doncic miss, and then a couple of free throws later, and the game is over. And it was interesting because Dallas opted to try and throw everybody at Booker and Durant and leave everybody else wide open. And look at how well that worked, because Durant 37, Booker 36. It's an intriguing defensive, you know, plan there. Is like, all right, we know we're going to have to just try to stop Booker and Durant as best as possible. So we're going to let Paul and we're going to let all these other guys just chuck up as many wide open shots as possible. And you still couldn't stop them because they still almost dropped 40 on you. This is going to be a nightmare for the Western Conference moving forward if they stay healthy.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about this too, Joe, because we take a look at the Western Conference standings right now. Nobody's probably going to catch the Denver Nuggets. They have a 6.5 game lead over the 2 seed here, the Memphis Grizzlies. But if we slide back to the Suns in that 4 seed at 9.5 games back, they're 2 games back of the Kings for that 3 seed and 3 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies. And we also know, look, the Kings may be not ready to win yet. We'll see how they go down the stretch. Ja Morant, we don't know when he's coming back for the Grizzlies. What is your chance here for the Phoenix Suns to move into that 2 seed? But more than likely, do you go for that 2 seed, or do you just say, let's just stay out of the playing game, let's get healthy when we're in the playoffs and see what happens? What do you think they do here down the stretch?
I don't think they care about number one, number two seed. I don't think they care. I mean, you know, you get a team like this filled with guys who have been there, done that. They understand that, you know, we're not breaking any regular season records here. We'd probably rather not have that hanging over our head or anything along those lines. So I think they are just, hey, let's be one of these top 4 seeds here. Let's get into the playoffs and let's go from there, because I don't really think they care, home court advantage or not, in the pros with this. They don't care. They just want to get in it and let's go. And the fact that, hey, a number 3 or a number 4 seed, lot less pressure, right? Ooh, you're going to get the number 1. They don't care. They don't want that. They don't care about that. Just let's get it. You got to be in it to win it. That's exactly what they're going to care about. And to your point, which is a great one, let's not do anything stupid over these final 20 games and securing that spot as well.
Exactly. The name of the game is get to the playoffs, be healthy, and you can be on your way there. Because granted, you're going to have to go on the road and win. Let's just say the Denver Nuggets hold serve there. Look, Phoenix can go in there. They're not scared of playing the Denver Nuggets. They just have to be healthy. If you have both of those superstars on your wings with Booker and Durant, what are you really worried about at that point? We'll see how it plays out down the stretch. The one other team we're watching here, watching it play out, can they actually get into the playoffs? Well, how about the Lakers? 113-105 victors over the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors, 7-24 on the road. That doesn't seem to be improving anytime soon. But the one guy we know who can step up in big moments when he's healthy, that's Anthony Davis. 39 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists in that win. He has shown with LeBron James out, he can be the focal point, but he just needs to stay healthy to be that focal point. But a big win nonetheless for the Lakers.
a must-have win. I mean, they're all kind of must-have at this particular point because the wheels cannot fall off with LeBron out. So Anthony had to do exactly what he did, and he's going to have to do this on a regular basis to keep the Lakers' hopes alive. But listen, this is another one of those spots where a team gets their superstar back, Steph Curry, after missing 11 games. It's an automatic fade for me, Donnie. I will be looking to back Steph Curry and Golden State in this next game coming up. But hey, he had 19 of his 27 in the fourth quarter. So he shook the rust off rather well in the first couple of quarters there and then lit him up in the fourth. Things are going to be just fine for Golden State, road or no road.
Yeah, exactly. This is a team that's used to hanging banners here. As long as they're healthy, they certainly are going to be a problem. You're getting a lot of value there in the Western Conference if you're looking for one of those three, four, five, or six seeds here, it looks like, as opposed to just headhunting and taking the top seeds. How about those Knicks? 131-129 victory, a double overtime shot here on the road in the Garden. Randall, 31 points. Barrett, 29 points. Emmanuel quickly, 38 points. And also on the opposite side for the Celtics, Tatum goes for 40-11 in the loss. The Celtics now a game and a half back from the Bucks, but the focus right now is on the Knicks surging in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, what, eight straight now? Something along those lines. They didn't have Jalen Brunson. He was listed as out just before tip-off. So Quigley comes in, and by the way, this game went to double overtime. He didn't sit 1 minute in the second half and overtimes there. So, I mean, the dude went 50 minutes in the game. So that's a fib special right there, man. And you know what? He was phenomenal the entire time. So you didn't have your star, Jalen Brunson, but the other guys picked it up around him, and including Quigley. And I don't know, dare we say the Knicks are more than just, they're competitive during the regular season. This is a team we better start taking serious consideration of here, because they're not going to go quietly into the night this year, I don't think.
No, it doesn't feel that way. And also from an NBA office perspective here, ooh, we have a chance to get the Lakers and the Knicks in the playoffs. Yeah, sounds like ratings for us. But when the Knicks are good, certainly the NBA is better, and it's certainly a good thing here. We'll see how long they can ride that streak out. Let's take a look at the Milwaukee Bucks, whose streak just ended on Saturday. They had a back-to-back game on the road against the Wizards and took care of business. 117-111. One of those guys in the NBA that, hey, man, it's a back-to-back. Why don't you take a rest for a superstar? Giannis doesn't do that. A triple-double for Giannis in that road victory yesterday.
Yeah, another one of they continue. It's amazing over the years with Budenholzer. They have a losing record, Donnie. Budenholzer does with the Bucks, with teams that win more than 60% of their games when they play them, right? So the elite teams is what Milwaukee has problems with, right? Like Philadelphia just the game prior. When it comes to 500 or less than 500 teams, this is what they do all the time. They're not losing to teams like the Washington Wizards here. They haven't. I don't see them doing it in the near future. Just when you think, oh, they broke the streak, maybe now they lose a couple in a row. Nope, not against a sub-500 team like the Wizards. That's who the Bucks are. You only want to fade the Bucks when they're playing teams like the Knicks or the Sixers or those elite teams. The sub-500 teams, it's Bucks all the time.
Yeah, that's what it feels like here. Also, yesterday, the Clippers get a big victory, 135-129 over the John Morant-less Grizzlies. Also, when you take a look at big twos here, Paul George, 42 points. Kawhi Leonard, 34 points. In the loss, Bane goes for 30. Jones goes for 25. And Jackson Jr. for 24. If you thought the NBA was crazy, wait till you see college basketball as we line up March Madness. Keep the dial right here. It's the early line, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Basketball fans, this is what we wait for. The start of March Madness, not officially, Joe Ranieri, until next Sunday, which is Selection Sunday, and away we go into March Madness. But this week, A lot of tournament seedings are up for grabs. The at-large bids will be massive if you win your conference. If you didn't think you were going to get an at-large bid, you can get the automatic bid. So a lot of things to be determined. The one interesting thing, Joe, about this weekend overall, I thought we were a little bit cheated here about some of these rivalry games that didn't amount to anything because, again, other teams handled their businesses much earlier. But let's focus in here on the SEC. Alabama finished the season as the SEC regular season champion at 16-2. They came in this weekend to take on Texas A&M only with one loss, but go on the road and lose 67-61. It's not necessarily a bad loss. Texas A&M is very good. But, Joe, as we were pointing out last week, you know, Alabama on that little bit of a slippery slope, not looking impressive, but still picking up victories. Now, granted, this wasn't a do-or-die game for them, nor was it for Texas A&M on getting into the tournament. But it looks like A&M was worthy of that, and now those questions might start here for Alabama. How did you feel about the game on Saturday? But certainly looking forward to Alabama if that loss is an indicator of what possibly is to come.
Well, there were it's always tricky. The last regular season game with teams knowing that the conference tournament is coming up, right? Games that mean absolutely nothing in the scope of things. Alabama was one of those. Baylor was another one, getting housed at home to Iowa State. So it's always a very tricky thing because their eyes are way down the road. They're interested in a final game. So in the scope of it, I think Alabama's already secured with their body of work a number one seed in March Madness, which is really what it was all about, right? Get the number one seed. I think them, UCLA, Houston, Kansas, all solidified the number ones. And I'll even extend that saying, I don't care what happens in these tournaments either. Those four are not going to change as far as I'm concerned. The four number one seeds are the four number one seeds over their entire body of work this year. But it's a reminder, you got to tread carefully with 18 and 19-year-olds, Donnie, with games that don't mean anything. That look ahead is real in college hoops.
No, it certainly is. And another game here, when we take a look at the Big 12, we already know it's hard enough to win on the road, but Kansas had clinched the regular season in the Big 12 before even playing Texas. What we were hoping was, if Texas can sort of hold on here, knock off a decent basketball team, I think it was TCU, that they could have played, and if they won at home, they would have had a share of that Big 12 regular season championship. That wasn't the case. And by the way, Kansas didn't even really show up. 24 points in the first half there, 75-59 final Texas over Kansas. It just goes to show you, number one, how hard it is to win on the road. And number two, was Kansas playing with a full deck there, knowing they already clinched what they needed to? And yeah, it's another road game. We'll see what happens. But Texas really showed up there.
Well, no, Texas did, but Texas has shown up at home all year long. Mm-hmm. But also keep in mind, Kansas knows we're probably meeting again in a week. So, you know, there is no need to get crazy. We'll go to a neutral site and we'll let this decide. Nobody was going to go the extra mile here on Kansas to try to prove any sort of point. They know there's a good shot Kansas and Texas will be playing one another here in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, two top 10 teams tangled on Saturday there, Arizona and UCLA. UCLA at home held serve 82-73, improving their Pac-12 record to 18-2 overall. Arizona drops to 14-6. Another one of those where you shake hands after the buzzer and you say, I think we're going to see you again next week. All right, good luck.
See you
then.
Thursday. Exactly, Donnie. Exactly. Not to mention, I mean, listen, it was a much bigger game for the psyche of UCLA, I think, given the fact that they wanted to, you know, they want to make sure they have a number one seed. But also, don't forget, Arizona was one of the only couple of teams that beat UCLA. They had already beaten them in the first matchup in a rock fight. So UCLA wanted to get back, and they did in a big way. And what's even more important is they did it playing up-tempo. They played Arizona basketball and was better at it than Arizona. But Arizona played UCLA, Mick Cronin, slowed down rock fight basketball in the first round and beat them. What is round three going to bring us? Because they're both number one and two here in the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah, there's some really good teams out in the Pac-12, and sometimes East Coasters here don't get to see those late-night Pac-12 action. They're going to get it popping there in their Power 5 tournament coming up this week. Should be a lot of fun to watch it play out. The number one overall team in the nation, the Houston Cougars, finished the season 17-1 in conference play, 29-2 on the season. They slip by Memphis 67-65. As you say, defense travels. Memphis certainly was game in the second half, and they needed a late buzzer beater for Houston to get that job done as they keep that number one overall seed. Or should I say number one overall ranking?
Yeah, well, they did not have their A game yesterday, but they also refused to lose, that which says something about this Houston Cougars team. Side note, though, Penny Hardaway and this Memphis squad now 9-1 against the number in their last 10 meetings against Houston. They are number two seed. They won't play until Thursday this week in the American Athletic, but as sure as I'm sitting here, Donnie, there is a good chance these two will be playing once again later this week. And I'm all for it because that was some entertaining basketball yesterday.
By the way, the Big Ten, as we take a look at it, it just seems like everybody outside of maybe like a Purdue is 10-9, 11-9, you know, 8-10, somewhere in that realm. Now, one score that actually caught me a little bit off guard, and it's not to say that Iowa is a fantastic basketball team. They're 19-12 down the season, 11-9 in the Big Ten. But I sort of raised an eyebrow with Nebraska going on the road and taking down Iowa 81-77 yesterday. A little bit of a lapse in focus here for Iowa.
Yeah, a big lapse in focus. But, you know, let's not discount what Nebraska has done now down the stretch here. That was their fourth quad one road win this year. So, and now they take down Iowa, who, let's talk about what was at stake for Iowa here. One of those double buys, like so they could wait in the Big Ten if they would have won that game, and they didn't get it. So that just tells you Nebraska, man, oh, man, they are shooting lights out right now. Every time Iowa would make one of their patented, you know, oh, they're chucking it up from three. And yeah, well, guess what Nebraska did? They came right down and answered. This team, oddly enough, with Hoiberg, has been way better and more dangerous on the road, Donnie, than they were at home. So which makes tournament time extremely interesting with a team like Nebraska.
Let me throw a little bonus card here in the Big Ten for you. Now, we look at teams that look to play their best basketball at the end of the season. And one of those daggers that some of these teams get, hey, guys, you're in the tournament here. I'm talking about Rutgers. They lose to Minnesota, which everybody just penciled that in as a victory on the road. They collapse in the last minute. Okay, you're going to come home against Northwestern. We could pick up a quality win there. They lose that game by double digits here. Now you take a look and say, okay, we still think you're in the tournament, but now these teams with so much pressure where they go on the road in the Big Ten championship, they got to win maybe a game or two to sort of be like, whoa, this is getting really close. How do you think some of these teams line up now when you enter into these conference tournaments where we're letting this slip away and the pressure starts to mount?
Well, I think what's happening here, and you nailed it at the top there, is the Big Ten is filled with, we have one or two top teams, and everybody else can beat everybody on any given day. There's a whole lot of mediocre basketball teams there right in the middle. And things like, you know, them going back-to-back losses at home is not great there for Rutgers. But, I mean, did we really anticipate Rutgers, who can't win on the road anyway? Did we really expect them to be anything great? No. So, but that's also what makes it fun, right? Because teams like Nebraska and Northwestern, who's overachieved all year, anything can happen. I think that's one of the more coin flip tournaments coming up this week.
Yeah, it should be a fun one to watch because it has the same feel, not as good as the Big 12, but it just has that feel where it's just carnage all over the place. Everybody lines up and can knock anybody out. And if you are Rutgers, you say, boy, if we had just beat Minnesota, we could have got hammered by Northwestern, lost our first game in the Big 10 tournament, and it wouldn't have mattered here. But now it's sort of put them back on that bubble mode here where you want to get at least one win so you don't have to really sweat it out here come Selection Sunday. A couple teams already punched their ticket automatic bids in the process. How about the Big South? Campbell and UNC Asheville. Now, yesterday, nice little promotion there. Should have said over the weekend from the FanDuel Sportsbook, 50% profit boost. I said, you know what? I got to get involved yesterday. Took a light favorite on UNC Asheville, minus the 3.5. Was watching the game going, looks like I threw a little bit of money away here. Down double digits, under 10 minutes to go. They end up winning 77-73 to punch their ticket. UNC Asheville, welcome to the dance.
Yeah, well, Drew Pember, one of the best college basketball players nobody's ever heard of, unless you watch that game, who dropped, I think, 28 or 29 points in that game. They were losing the entire time, Asheville, by the way. A 1-7 championship there with Asheville being the number one seed. And boy, oh boy, did that get a little hairy, because there was about 4 minutes, 3 minutes left. And all of a sudden, they kicked it into another gear and eventually made more shots down the stretch than Campbell could to win it. But that was, you weren't winning that game. You were sweating that game the entire time, Donnie, right up until the final couple of minutes there. But Drew Pember, my goodness, took the game over. That kid is no joke, 29-8-2 in his 39 minutes in that game. Phenomenal player.
Stepping up in absolute big moments, because these conferences, if you lose in the conference championship game, there is no like, hey, we still made the tournament. Like, no, you need to win that league, and they did that here. How about Drake and Bradley and Arch Madness? Not March Madness, Arch Madness. 77-51 over Bradley. Drake came in as a slight favorite in this game, but when you shoot close to 60% from three-point range, you're going to do some damage. They brought the defense. Drake, not the rapper, the school, punches a ticket into March Madness.
Number one versus number two, right? Bradley just beat Drake last week in that final game to secure the one. Drake number two. They had split the season, right? 1-1 going into this one, but this game was over in the start of it there. They went to the half up 20, Donnie, and it was over. 41-21. Drake did not miss. They were absolutely on fire. And they're a pretty good defensive team, so they handle business. I mean, 77-51, and it wasn't even that close when you watched it. So Drake punches the ticket, man, moves on as a two seed.
Yeah, they're fun. The mid-majors are fun because they get to the tournament where a lot of people just starting to fill out a bracket, don't pay that much attention. Ah, Drake, that's a funny team here. When these teams get going from three-point range and they've all played together for a while, they can do some damage against some of these Power Five schools. So something to keep an eye on. Let's get to the A-Sun yesterday. How about Kennesaw State? 67-66 over Liberty. As much as a six-point dog in this game, they win outright, which came right down to basically the final possession. But Kennesaw State, just a few short years ago, I believe they won one game, now punching a ticket into March Madness with the win over Liberty.
Yeah, their first, first A-Sun championship, their first trip to the NCAA tournament. They were the one seed. I mean, one versus two against Liberty. But every time Liberty tried to pull away, Kennesaw State wouldn't allow it. Great story. Very, very good team. Another one of these, 14, 15 seeds here, Donnie, that are going to be a whole lot of problems for some teams.
Yeah, and also fun to watch this too. We talk about it so much, Joe, in the NBA. Hey, you want home court advantage. Well, some of these, mid-major schools, they don't have a general, we're going to go on the road and play in a neutral site. Kennesaw was home in that game. They took advantage of it there, even though Liberty was the favorite. Big time win there. Now, we're going to flip it back to the NFL. Hey, Aaron Rodgers, anytime you want to let us know is good for us. Stick it right here. We'll talk about it. Mm-hmm.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here, some good topics to talk about before we hit hour number two and a lot of college basketball action. But this seems to be the story that never wants to go away. But we're hoping, Joe Ranieri, that sooner or later it does. We're talking Aaron Rodgers, and when is he going to make his decision? So two things for you, Joe. When does the decision come, and will the decision be he is leaving Green Bay? And let's throw another one on. Where is he even going to wind up?
It's so ridiculous, because I thought he was the one telling us, wasn't he, that This is not going to take long. I'm not going to drag this thing out. Guess what, Aaron? Anytime you want to leave that dark room or dark closet you're in anywhere, open up the door, join the rest of the real world and realize you're doing exactly what you said you weren't going to do. You're dragging this thing out for everybody. It's very simple. Either you know, Donnie, you want to play, or you go, I'm done. I mean, it's that simple. So the sooner you come to that realization, the sooner everyone else can figure out what they're going to do. I if he's this much on the fence, then I would don't come back. I honestly don't come back there. Nothing good will happen if he is not convinced at this point that he needs to come back and play one more year. Because it's not where are you going to play, it's do you want to play. So that's the big thing, I think, with Aaron Rodgers at this point.
Like, during the season, you probably have an idea where it's going to wind up and what you want to do. The season ends.
Correct.
It didn't end last week. Like, the Super Bowl wasn't last week where you just played in it and need to decompress. You had 2 full months, which include going into the darkness for 4 days, which, again, you don't have any phone, any TV, any lights on. All you are with your thoughts. After 10 minutes, I'd have an idea of exactly what I was going to do once I came out. But apparently, he does like the attention and continues to drag this one out. And also, if you're going to go to the Vegas Raiders, do you really want to tangle with Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and also Justin Herbert over the next couple of years as you try to win a championship? Or is it best, Joe Ranieri, if he says, you know what, let me just stay put right here in Green Bay, because if I do, we'll be the favorites to win that division. It seems so simple overall at this point, but why is it taking so long? It's content. What do you want us to do? We'll be right back. Hour number 2 up next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No